They were defeated by Philip and, leading the Macedonian left wing, his 16-year-old son, Alexander. This defeat of the Greeks was, in fact, to mark the end of the independence of the Greeks until the 19th century AD, in the War of Independence fought against the Turks. So it really does mark for us a dramatic point in the history of Greece, and, in fact, many classes on the history of Greece will stop at that point, right there. We've decided to go just a fraction further to give you a taste of what will come up in the period that follows the end of Greek independence, because what we're going to find is a wholly new culture. I can't begin to sum it up in one half lecture, but I want to just give a taste of what will come up in the period that follows. Rather than presenting himself as a conqueror of the Greeks, Philip attempted to present himself as, in fact, one of the Greeks himself, and to win their support. He assembled the Greeks at Corinth after his victory, and I must say he was lenient in his treatment of those whom he conquered. Alexander escorted the ashes of the war dead back to Athens, and there were no further reprisals against them. And what Philip had in mind was the creation of a new league. And this league shows us something of the continuity of ideas and themes in Greek history, because its intention was to wage war against the Persians. The very same idea that had taken root in 479, 478, and had led to the creation of the Delian League to conduct the war against the Persians. This time, Philip would be the captain general of the Greeks. He would lead the Greeks in a crusade against the Persians. So this is an idea that has been bubbling away below the surface in Greek thinking for many years. The idea of this crusade, therefore, is not a creation of Philip's. It's rather an idea that he is activating and using in his own interests. Aside from in the 5th century, when, of course, early on in particular, the Persians had been the great enemy, in the 4th century, this idea had a new interpretation. It's often referred to as the Pan-Hellenism of the 4th century. This Pan-Hellenic ideal, this ideal of uniting all the Greeks, was best articulated by the influential Athenian orator and teacher Isocrates. Not Socrates, but Isocrates, a man who was responsible for the education of many of the leading historians, thinkers, and politicians of the 4th century. And in the interpretation of Pan-Hellenism advocated by Isocrates, there lay the implicit recognition that the only thing which could unite the Greeks as a people was a common campaign against the Persians. In other words, the Greeks were so addicted to this notion of perennial conflict and of strife that the idea of forming a federation, for example, of all of the Greek states had not yet taken root. The only way that they could be united was by creating a common enemy and fighting against the Persians. Now, Philip was actually assassinated only shortly after Chaeronea in 336, while back up in Macedon, so he was not in a position ever to carry on this invasion of the Persian Empire as he had planned, although at the time of his death, the advanced units of the Macedonian army had already secured a bridgehead into Asia. And I mention this because it's often easy to think that Philip had advocated this idea merely as a ruse, as a way of making himself more palatable to the Greeks as a captain general of some fantasy campaign against the Persians. No, this was the next stage of the expansion of Philip's empire. And had Philip lived long enough, I have no doubt at all that he would have done exactly what his son did in the subsequent 10 years. What that was, quite simply, was to invade the Persian Empire and to conquer it. Alexander, and we must now turn to him since he takes over his father's dream, had grown up thinking of himself as the new Achilles. His campaign against the Persians, therefore, represents both a fulfillment of his father's dream of conquering the Persians and a fulfillment of his own dream to reenact the Trojan War in historical time and to make himself into the hero of the Greeks against the Eastern Orientals. It's often been suggested that in this kind of thinking, Alexander may have been reflecting the influence of his tutor Aristotle. In Aristotle's writings, it's fairly clear that Aristotle believed in the notion that the Greeks were in some way quite superior to those of the East, to the Persians. And it's easy to imagine that Alexander had imbibed this idea and also thought of Greeks and Macedonians as a superior race in relation to the Persians.